I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag
is. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of Gold Diggers. They've given me back my chair, my rightful place. I'm Tima at teams_GH on X. I was about to say Twitter. X.
Oh, I'm Philippa, aka Philippa Echo, on the Bird app.
Joyce Swifty Stones on X. It's very strange.
Lauren at Lauren Coys on X.
The thing is, you call it the Bird app, but it's actually...
Formerly known as the Bird app. I'm sorry, it's going to be really hard to... Anyway, sorry, yeah. X, Elon, don't come for me. I ain't got no money.
Just give us the blue tick.
Right, so where do we start? There's only one place to start, and that was shenanigans at the Emirates. The North London Derby ended 2-2. Really great game, really entertaining, really end-to-end. Lauren, what did you make of it?
I'm happy. I think both with the result and with the performance. I wasn't expecting anything from the game, to be honest. I'm happy. I just thought we were brave. Like when we go to the Emirates to play this derby, there's this inferiority complex. We sit back, we play counter-attacking football. But after the first half an hour and we got through Arsenal's typical fast start, we played football. Like, Ange Ball was there. It was there to see. I was impressed. And yeah, we reacted well. We came back, falling behind. And for me, like, to see us play that football against an Arsenal team that should have won the league last season after six games, it just made me feel more encouraged. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I really believe in Ange. Like, I really believe that. Give us more transfer windows. Give us more time. We're going to get better, because I was not expecting us to be able to kind of hit that performance level that we did, especially in parts of the second half at the Emirates. I just wasn't expecting it, to be honest. Yeah.
And Arsenal fans, what did you make of the North London derby?
Hey, you're pointing, but the camera MC. Isn't looking. The
for context, there's a big empty seat, you know, for any of our Arsenal representatives. So.
Unfortunately, they couldn't join us today. They're running and hiding. I don't know why. Maybe because they should have won the game. Maybe because...
Yeah, you say should have, but it wasn't like they were doing much. I didn't think they dominated the game in any of the halves, let alone, like, if we split into quarters either. I don't think there was actually, like, a really good moment where they were like, okay,
I think they had. Moment. I think they had portions of the game where they had Spurs... I don't want to say, for lack of a better word, like, rattled a little bit. Like, they were putting together passes and really getting in. And I think there are a couple of misses that they're going to seriously regret. But as someone who didn't want either of the teams to win, it was a perfect solution for me. I think, you know, and as I'm sure we're about to get into, there are a couple of shouts where I was a bit like, I don't know about that. But yeah, I don't think there were times definitely where I think Arsenal did look better. And I think Arteta had very poor in-game management. In terms
that's
of who
it, but I think
in.
That the, funny enough, you say that because this is what we were talking about at the end of last season, where it was a case of we don't know what his tactics are when it comes to before the lineup is fine, but it's making those key changes at the right moments in game that he's still not really getting right.
I mean, trust him. I mean, we've got Chelsea did an inside job because we know what happens when he.
Jorginho.
I refuse to sing it to that song.
What's it, J5, whatever they call that guy. Thank you for the goal. Thank you for the goal.
J2O.
J2O.
Yeah, whatever they call him.
No, but I think, yeah, I think there were obviously moments in the game that, you know, I think Arsenal were really on top, particularly in that first, probably opening 30 minutes. I think, obviously, they missed quite a few chances. Nketiah didn't really seem like he was on... really actually in the game at all. Like,
when does he do that
in general? Arsenal fans?
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like he's got big shoes to fill at the end of the day. And at the end of last season, he pretty much took it upon himself to kind of lead the charge, I guess. I mean, they didn't win shit, but you know.
I disagree with that. I actually think that he started this season better than he ended last. I think he's been able to be a little bit more involved in games. But today, I don't know, it just wasn't his day. It was very interesting. I was saying, like, for a North London derby, and, you know, you think of that proper Barclays heritage. And this is the first time in a really long time I felt like Spurs, like, living, specifically, were really, like, roughhousing it and getting physical in the game and really being about it. And it was really interesting to see because, obviously, half of these players, more than half, you said, Lauren, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's more than half.
Haven't played in this fixture ever before.
I was proud because that's the thing. Like, whenever over the last, or however long the record is, obviously, that we haven't won at the Emirates, there have been times when Spurs have had the better team on paper going into the game and we just haven't turned up. But I saw a group of players, you know, that understood what it means to play for Spurs, because it's all well and good telling me you come in, I love the club, great facilities, all of this lovely, woo.
Great facilities.
But you will show me how much United. You love my team and my club by how you perform in the North London derby. And I saw players there who were fighting for the shirt, people who were running. And obviously, like, towards the end when we took off Madison and Sonny, and then we kind of lost that attacking threat, it was then about not conceding when Arsenal mm-hmm. were pushing, and we did it. And I saw a group of players that were resilient, bearing in mind we have a lot of players who are like 20, 21, 22 playing in their first North London derby. I just thought this is a team that will build and kick on in the future. So yeah, I'm proud. Like, I really wasn't, like, I woke up, I was feeling sick. I mean, I went to the supermarket this morning, I was listening to Earth, Wind & Fire in the car, guys. I was trying to relax, like, I was trying to distract
myself.
Why would
Earth, Wind & Fire be the band of choice?
Yeah, I was listening to some playlist, like, Born in the 70s, whatever it was. Mm. I was just trying to relax, like, distract myself. Because I was prepared to see what we usually do, which is kind of just a, oh my God, we're playing at the Emirates, which we did see in the first half an hour. I was thinking, oh my God, like, this isn't good. But we reacted well.
All of you?
Pardon?
All of you reacted well?
I think overall, obviously there are the flashpoints. We've got the penalty, we've got the own goal. I thought Destiny did really, really well after kind of getting spun by Saka, getting that early yellow card. By the time it got to the end of the game, he grew into the game. But it was a team performance. I don't think anybody on the pitch, I wouldn't say any, I don't think anybody had a terrible game on the pitch from a Spurs perspective.
Mr. Romero.
No, we can talk about, but like I've said, I don't dispute the penalty. I'd said it in a group chat, I don't dispute the penalty. For me, the handball law needs changing. And there was a handball from Ben White.
But what was wrong with the last handball rule that we had that made it so
very clear?
So if it just hits your hand, it can be a penalty.
But that's what we're doing at the moment now. If it hits your hand, it's a penalty.
Just like anything, innit? And you're thinking, like, there's so many penalty calls that we've had this season as well. It's just there, like, well, what are they supposed to be doing? Dismembering themselves.
For me, it was just the fact that Benny Blanco handled that ball before Mura did.
It was Benny Blanco.
Yeah.
Like,
it did. It hit Ben White.
He hit his hand,
and then he hit it onto his foot. For him to shoot it, yes, I get it. It was a denying of, like, a clear, like, goal scoring opportunity. I get it. But, like, he touched the ball first.
Talking about
like, and nobody was talking about it. And it kept reminding, I was like, go back this 5 seconds.
Yeah, because when we're talking about phases of play, isn't that still within that same phase
exactly.
of play?
If it doesn't hit his hand, that whole the whole incident doesn't happen in any way. But it's
I actually didn't think it was a penalty. I've got to admit, I can't stand Spurs. Actually, both teams make me itch. But I've got to say that I didn't think it was a penalty, and I agreed with Gary Neville's commentary. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna defend your goal and you see someone shooting, you're going to fling yourself at the ball. And so when you fling yourself, you don't fling yourself like a seal. Mm. Like, you fling yourself.
Exactly. Because you have to generate momentum.
So, and I think actually, like, if you're thinking about the distance that, what's his name? The clown. What's his name?
Was that necessary?
Why?
Was that necessary?
The distance he was from the ball, like, I think it was very, very harsh. And I didn't even see the Ben White handball just before. So that even makes it even worse.
VAR didn't go that far. VAR
didn't. It's like, I saw it and I called that out before Romero's hand. And then they did replays of it. And the first few replays, they would show that. But then when they were doing the VAR check, they didn't. So I was sat there like, listen, I've got no skin in this game. But it annoyed me a little bit because I was just like, if we're going to do this, like,
we need to start really defining what we mean by a phase of play, because...
Exactly.
And I also think we need to look that the law needs to be changed to take into account of logic and science, because you cannot keep we cannot keep giving handballs for gravity. Like if you
Isaac Newton.
But players that if you're jumping in the air and then you're coming back down, your arms go up. If you're flinging yourself, your arms will naturally make a movement and your arms will come away from the natural silhouette of your body. That's literally just science. And we're giving far too many handballs under the law where it's just kind of like that's just a natural movement, but it's being deemed as your arms in an unnatural position.
But you not think Romero flung his panties for Arsenal, because at the end of the day, even though I said it wasn't a penalty, he knows the game, he knows the rules. Like, why are your arms up here? And then also in terms of the own goal, his positioning.
No, like for the own goal, it was a lazy leg.
Yeah.
But I think his positioning is a result of that Brennan Johnson and Destiny did not defend that very well.
Destiny
because I do think as a centre back, you'll expect either your left winger who's tracked back or your left back to kind of think, oh, I'm not going to leave Saka of all people on the pitch free to take a shot from the edge of the box. So yeah. I think he was late to react because he expected it to be defended. And yes, he should do better because you should always expect the worst. And it was a lazy leg and he was at fault for that. But I thought other than that, him and Van de Ven had a good game, in my opinion.
Just conceding 2 goals. Good game. Cool. What did you make of...
They fought back.
Oh, goodness. Says the Chelsea fan, man. Yeah. Once again, with your... what was the last week episode called? Chelsea bad vibes. You're bringing the bad vibes again.
When am I ever good vibes?
Oh, babe.
When am I ever good vibes?
I can see the pain in your eyes.
So, talking about the... So, let's go back to the own goal. Let's go back to the first goal, because we kind of really touched upon it. What did you make of Saka's celebration? I thought it was mad cheeky. You
know? I think it's cheeky bastard and I love it. I love that shit.
I was thinking, so the first celebration, it was an own goal. And then the second one, you done it and 30 seconds later, you got spun by Madison to concede a goal. That's fine. Carry on. Like, it's a derby. Like, I'm not, obviously, I'm on the Spurs side. So it pissed me off. But equally, Madison got the last laugh, in my opinion. Okay,
we'll
keep it moving.
He did the Madison celebration. I was going to say, because there's a lot of celebrations in my head.
Yeah, but he's being cheeky because he's done that, he's done this, he's done...
Because I was thinking he was doing the Rashford one.
He's doing all the Rashford ones. He's making a mockery. And that's fine.
That's okay, that's fine. Madison had the final say, so I don't business. Pardon?
It was God's child.
Yeah, but for me, this is my favourite part of football. It's like shithousery. I love that.
Yeah, but Saka isn't that guy.
He's not, but that's why it's
extra funny.
Yeah, he's not that guy. 30 seconds later, he got spun by the same celebration that you imitated.
Do you want to say that one more time?
You know, I'm just saying, everyone can see it. They'll see the replays. He got spun.
But I think it was interesting. Like, I think Saka should make up his own celebration.
He needs to, because at the end of the day, he's now a really...
Either copies Thierry's, either copies Marcus, or other people that have also done that celebration, and now he's copying
Madison's. He's got a name for himself. Quite literally, he's a well-known player now in the Prem.
Listen, not all...
Not all football players are good for their celebration.
Not everybody can be Mikel Antonio.
If you want to be on the cover, go get your celebration, man. They'll put you on in the game.
If you want to be...
Yeah, everyone else has got their own celebration. Haaland's got his sitting down on the ground one.
That reminds me of, what is it, the picture of him, what was it, midweek in that black jacket, and he was just kind of stood there like a brick.
Yeah, he's got no vibes, man. When the Arsenal fans say he's got aura, I'm like, you just love him, and that's okay, but that doesn't exist.
You don't think Saka's got aura?
What aura?
He's lovely. I don't think
he's a nice guy.
He's a lovable guy.
He's a nice guy. He's got aura.
But when Lauren says aura, I imagine he doesn't like command like. He's like, everyone loves him. He's star boy. Yeah. He's God's child.
He's a fantastic player. Don't get me wrong. He's not my star boy. But like, you're not that guy. Like, you did like what
you don't walk, he doesn't walk into the room and command respect like that. I'm saying like, he's a fantastic footballer. I put my hands up to it. Anybody would love to have him in their team, but he's not that guy. And that's okay. Not everybody has to be that guy.
He does his talking on the pitch.
Who on that Arsenal team do you think is that guy?
Ask the Arsenal fans.
Arsenal fan.
I haven't got a Scooby. Oh no.
Yeah. No one jumps out at me immediately.
Like, even if I try and force Saliba? Myself to say Odegaard, it's Saliba. Not there.
Again, they're okay, a team of Saliba. They've got a team of like really like great players, but like that's, I don't feel like Arsenal's been that sort of team for a while. And I don't think Arsenal fans would argue with that. They don't have people that when they walk into a room, you think, oh shit.
They don't.
Like,
they're not, or maybe we're not, like, we don't watch them.
I like Odegaard, but I don't see Odegaard like that.
Where was Odegaard today?
I was about to ask. Missing person report.
Captain O.
Yeah, Captain O. Captain like, leader. I don't think any of them like have huge like personalities that we see on the pitch. They're a very, very good team. Well-drilled. Pardon?
Declan Rice?
He's bringing that personality from West Ham.
Declan has a personality, but I don't think Declan's like... That guy. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. Do you understand? Like,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, this little bit of sauce. Like,
but did you see how they clipped him in midweek, the Champions League, telling that other player to shut up? Because they're not used to seeing that type of thing. Mm. The Arsenal fans.
Yeah,
and they
Declan's
running the
always
clip.
Been quite mouthy.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Do you think part of the reason why they haven't got over the line in terms of like major trophies is because they don't have that guy?
Probably. You know, yeah. Diaz sat in a match conference going, you know what, don't ask me any more questions, you'll see on the pitch. You need players like that sometimes.
It's a sports psychology question, isn't it? It's like, it's that, you know, they always talk about that winning mentality, and maybe that winning mentality comes from having a couple of players
who never ghost in big games.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, are always accountable. And even if they do play shit, they're like, put my hands up, but we're going again and we're going for it. And like, again, the aura. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? If Arsenal play a game badly and Saka's contributed to that, I don't see him as like a person being like, yeah, we're going to take the ball by the horns and we're going to go next week. He'll be like, put my hands up. Like, do you know what I mean? He's quite
relaxed.
There's a particular word that I don't want to use because that's not what I'm trying to say. Mm. But yeah, it's not hard.
Interesting. Mm. Do you think they missed Martinelli / Trossard?
In terms of creativity, probably a lot more.
To be fair, I think Jesus did well on the left.
Yeah.
But I think Jesus then coming out of the middle meant that they were relying on Nketiah to be clinical, and that was a big issue. Don't get me wrong, like, as soon as I saw, because obviously we knew Martinelli from last week was injured, and I saw no Trossard, I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. So like, I was happy not to see them, but I actually think Jesus did that role well. But Arsenal's problem is that I can't see them winning a league or a Champions League or whatever it is, unless they go and get a striker that they know they can guarantee. I was going to say 20, but probably if you're competing with City, you need a striker that's at least going to do 25 minimum.
Jesus Christ.
To catch up and compete with City.
What has the league become?
Yeah, like, and they don't have that.
Since the Arsenal fans are not here, let me just read out some of the comments in the group chat.
Okay.
Oh, God. Shai said, if I see Eddie on...
No. Stop. No. Time out. Nope.
I have to screen grab these.
I have to protect my girls. Please.
Wow, not the...
shy, she protected you. But she did say, she did mention in the group chat that she really wanted Arsenal in the summer to go out and get a striker.
Mm.
And I suppose today we're kind of really seeing why, because I think if you look at that Jesus chance when Madison fought...
He lost the ball,
I don't know why he's not putting that on the floor. Because he puts that on the floor, that is...
He's finished.
Game finished.
Because that was before you equalised, right?
My heart sank. When he lost the ball, I was thinking, goal. Because most other teams, they will put that away.
I'm just looking at the appropriate messages in the group chat.
That's why I had to stop her, because I wasn't sure where she was going to go.
There was one that was worse.
Yeah, I know. But that's, it was in that chain of messages. And so, you know.
So, like, she's lucky I didn't go for the other one, that's for sure, man. There is also... I actually can't read the message.
Yeah, I think the consensus from our Arsenal fans in the chat was just that they were disappointed in Arteta. They feel like he lost them the game because they weren't able to push on.
Shai said that's why she can never beat Arteta in.
And I hear that, because it's also a problem, obviously to a very different level, but a problem that I have with my own manager, where it's like, where is your in-game management? What are we doing with our subs? When are we subbing? Like, that's why I can respect you, but it's like, we're never really going to kick on if you fail to make a sub before the 70th minute and then you decide to put someone stupid on. Like, it, you
that's
know what
the
I mean?
Thing. It's not just the timing of the sub. It's then the sub. I can't lie. The as soon as I saw Jorginho running out and Havertz to come on at half time, I was thinking, hey, maybe we can win this one. Because, you know, I mean, obviously, maybe Declan Rice was injured. Not sure about
big
Fabio.
Loss.
Yeah, big loss. They lost control of the midfield and we started to show. But Arteta does this quite often. You're just... You feel that when you watch Arsenal, they have plan A. And most of the time, plan A works, don't get me wrong. Mm. Like, they've been doing really, really well with plan A. But they don't look like they have a plan B, plan C, plan D. And that's what Pep has.
I was going to say, he might have taken a few too many notes from Pep with this whole late sub thing as well. Because we suffer from that. But I think we've got the quality of the player to, even if we do sub, and he kind of makes a sub that's very, very questionable. We're like, okay, but we can... Can have this, like when we were 10 men down and we lost Rodri.
Don't worry,
Phillips.
We're coming on to. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I got you. We're gonna come on to City, but just to kind of stay on Arsenal. As a Chelsea fan, I would really wanted to celebrate Havertz's 007.
Okay.
7 games.
Let's pop the champagne.
Boy.
But unfortunately, in the position that we're in, I
can't even laugh
about that.
I'm glad that you said that.
It's okay. The United fans. They finally won yesterday. So the United fans will celebrate. Have a stop listening.
I also wanted to just talk about Madison. He had a very interesting game. I don't think he started very well, but then I think that he basically bossed the midfield.
I don't think the team started very well, and he was having to come very, very deep to get the ball. But I think as we grew into the game, we became braver. And Madison's, like, playing through the lines is his best position, picking that ball up just over the halfway line and playing the right pass. And I think as we moved up the pitch and we became to dominate midfield, because, like, we're talking about Madison, but Bissouma had a fantastic game. Papissar was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And because them as a unit, they interchange, they can get up and down the pitch, it allows Madison to... It did allow him to start picking up the ball where he can be dangerous. And yeah, like, two assists. Like, we have a lot of creative players in the Premier League, but creative players who are actually clinical and effective and have an end product, we don't have that many of them. Madison is one of them. And he'll continue to prove it playing for Spurs, because him supplying a ball to the likes of Son, who's going to put the ball away, it just means he's going to get assists and goals as well, actually.
Yeah.
If he stays fit.
Yeah, please, I hope that knee, whatever happened to his knee, I hope he's okay. We have Liverpool next week. Pardon?
Wasn't it his ankle?
No, it was his knee. It was his knee. He jarred it, but then obviously came back on, but then had to come off, so...
I think that was Ange protecting him, to be fair. Because remember, he went into like a 50-50 challenge like straight away.
Yeah, but in the post-match interview, he then said, I couldn't finish the game.
Oh,
so,
did he?
Yeah, so I'm just hoping it's not serious. But we ain't got the Carabao Cup.
I was going to say, you ain't got the midweek, have you?
So we've got an empty week. So
I wouldn't cheer about that.
Hopefully, yeah.
What did you make of Madison's performance, Philippa?
I'm a big fan of Madders. And matters. I'm saying that to someone specifically listening. Yeah, I've always been a big fan of Madison. Because I've been having an argument. It's just there are a couple of fair weather fans who didn't enjoy James Madison before, but now they play for their club. Mm. Now all of a sudden they're saying that he's fantastic. Anyway, I digress. That was a shot.
I was going to say his name.
But yeah, I think he, like Lauren said it all really, I think he grew up, he grew into the game and was looking really good in the midfield. And it's funny, we noticed when Rice went off because like the midfield looked shaky for Arsenal, but it was really Madders who I was watching in the midfield even when Rice was on. Yeah, I think he's just only going to continue to grow with Spurs. Again, like you said, he needs to stay fit, but it's just a different calibre of people around him. But I always thought that he was good regardless of who was around him at Leicester anyway. So
I hope whoever that was, they heard loud and clear.
They heard, don't worry.
And a bargain, man. 40 mil. Considering what other players in similar-ish positions are going for, we've done very, very good business there.
I mean, if only, you know, Waistcoat would listen, but I guess that's another time.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah, let's not play him left wing, but I don't want to. A vein will pop out of my forehead like I'm Julia Roberts if I start talking about Southgate. So that's not.
Listen, I can cast out Southgate anytime you want, but maybe potentially this is not the episode. Later on, actually.
Yeah, we've got time. We've got time.
You know what? Like, what do we think about Rice? Because obviously, if he's injured for a long period of time, there's no number five. Sorry, I just had to think about it.
Yeah.
There's no number three. There's no number five either. And Jorginho looks a bit off the pace, shall we say. What do we think that does in terms of Arsenal and their title challenge?
I think it complicates it.
Mm. Only complicate?
I'm being conservative. Oh, okay. I'm being conservative. I think it complicates it. I would love to know what it is because... Obviously, in my years of knowing,
he never gets injured.
Doesn't get injured. Yeah. So, you know.
It's that Champions League intensity football. Through that body.
And also those Arsenal physios. So I'm looking
you're
over
a big
there.
Man but now. You're not playing high quality intensity.
Playing high quality. You're not playing Astro Gugu now, babe.
Twice a week. You've got to stand up.
He was playing twice a week before, but again, he was playing Astro Gugu.
Yeah, all he was doing 60 minutes. Now we're definitely
teams that had like trains going through their stages.
Okay, exactly. We're going to respect the Conference League, okay?
And he was doing 60 minutes very, here and there. Now, Declan, your team needs you.
Actually, no, he wasn't really playing. I digress. Yeah, it complicates things because, like you said, number five is out. Jorginho seems to be the natural replacement in their squad. And that did not look great today. Mm. So I think it complicates it.
You can now play through Arsenal's midfield, I think, if Jorginho is on the pitch.
I don't see him as like an attacking midfielder in my mind. He's always a defensive midfielder.
Well, he's a deep line playmaker, but he needs somebody who wins the ball next to him.
Well, the thing about Jorginho having suffered him for so many years.
Suffered, you know? Raw.
Wait, I thought you were sad when he left.
I was sad he went to Arsenal.
That makes sense.
Okay.
He can go, man. Anyway.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
So I think it does. I think, obviously, he hasn't started or played a lot for Arsenal this season. So I think it might take him a few games to get used to the pace of the Premier League. pace of power of the Premier League and Champions League. So, and I think, actually...
He'll do better in the Champions League, I think. Yeah, the game will be slower.
It's a slower game. And I think Declan Rice, you know, he's been at Arsenal for a very short period of time, but he's basically become integral to that team. And I think you're right that in terms of playing through them, it'll be interesting to see how long he's out for, considering there's a big game on the horizon.
There is a big game on the horizon. But as we're saying, if he's out and his counterpart Rodri is out, then it makes for a very interesting game.
Yeah, but isn't that... See, karma. Karma will always come back around. Because you see the way the Arsenal fans are celebrating yesterday at the fact that Rodri had missed the game. And now Declan may have popped his calf.
I thought it was his back.
No, it was his calf. They said he had bandaged around his calf.
Yeah,
but afterwards
I read that it was actually back issues. I think Arteta said he had back issues.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'd rather it be the calf because the calf would be longer than the back.
And the back? Have you ever done your back?
We're not professional footballers though, babes.
If he had done his back, he would have gone off. He wouldn't have got to half time. Yeah. If he had slipped a disc or something, or he wouldn't have got to half time.
But did he do it?
Okay. Interesting. Mm. I'm interested.
Let's hope for both.
I don't hope for anything. I love Declan still. But like I'm interested to see what he's done and how long he's out for. Yeah. Because watching your game, like the way that you lot were playing around the midfield in the first half versus this, like playing through the midfield in the second half.
Yeah, we were killing Arsenal in transition in the second half because they didn't have the legs to stop. Pardon?
Do you think you should have won it?
I believed we could win it up until he took Maddison and Son off. And then I thought the players that have come on, like you bring on Richarlison, okay, he's a striker, but then you took off our creative force because it was Højbjerg who came on. So yeah. I was kind of like, with these subs, you're just kind of shutting up shop. I think if Son and Maddison had been able to do 90 minutes, we maybe could have gone on to win it. But I'll take the draw, man. It's fine. I'm happy regardless.
And lastly, before we move on from the North London derby, because I'm just sick of talking about both these teams, is the Rea versus Ramsdale debate. Now, I think it's very interesting. I don't know what you guys make of it in terms of how Arteta's handled it and who you think is going to be number one going forward.
I think it's interesting, especially when we're talking about midweek in the Champions League. You thought, okay, well, Ramsdale got them to the end of the season, even if they didn't win anything. Like, he was the main man. And then you got number two to start for their first, you know, night under the lights in how many years? Just thought, okay, this is really, really weird. But because, you know, Pep wouldn't do the same until probably like around the end of the group stages and, you know, give or take the odd game, depending on the opponent. But
yeah,
it's really strange.
Today I was disappointed because I can't lie. There were a couple of times where I was like, I wish Ramsdale was in the goal because I think Raya is a fantastic keeper. I think in terms of the way that Arsenal want to play, as in play out from the back, cut out the mistakes, I think Raya will suit that a lot better. In terms of how Arteta's handled it, I think he was going well up until he then said in whatever interview he was doing, oh, there were times where I wanted to take him off at 70 minutes. I don't think that was necessary.
That was not necessary.
To say that publicly.
Because like in the first place, when like Raya was announced, I was just a bit like,
why are we getting him for?
Oh,
yeah, you've got two.
It's not my problem.
Yeah, but you've got two number ones.
But I was like, oh, you've got two number ones. So what are you planning on doing? And like, then there was the excuses about rotation. People need rotation, blah, blah, blah. But then again, like you're saying, I think it was the enormity of the Champions League night where I was like, oh shit, Ramsdale's really, like after all of this, Ramsdale's really not going to play this game. It's not like it's the Carabao Cup. It's not like it's the FA Cup. It's the Champions League game. You're actually making a really big statement.
Yeah, because he played against Everton to warm up for the Champions. So the Champions League wasn't his first game. And he's played in the derby. I think it's clear. Yeah. Sorry, Ramsdale's the number two now. I think he's made the switch.
I think playing in the derby, I think the Champions League is massive, but playing in a North London derby, I'm like, Ramsdale, you better call the remover people, pack up your stuff, because I don't think North London is forever for you, my friend.
If he wants to play, he's going to have to move on. But I actually think it's I think goalkeeper is the one position where a rotation doesn't help. A goalkeeper needs to play every game. Yeah. Like they need to be full settled. They need to be in the routine. And I think, I can't believe I feel sorry for Aaron Ramsdale. God forgive me.
No, I don't feel sorry for Aaron Ramsdale. Sorry.
But I'm thinking the next time he does play, obviously Carabao Cup is midweek, I can see him maybe making some big error because he's trying to win his place back. Yeah. And I think once you have the psychology of a goalkeeper that's always trying to win their place back, he's already quite erratic as he is in his personality. Arteta's going to have big problems. Because as soon as Ryan makes a mistake, the Ramsdale lovers will be like, see, this is why we should be playing Ramsdale. You shouldn't have... Two number ones doesn't work, in my opinion.
I think Raya could have done better on your first goal, though, because he parried it into danger, in my personal opinion. But I think he's done well. I think what is really harsh on Ramsdale...
The save that he made for Brennan Johnson.
It was amazing.
I stood up for my sofa. I stood up to celebrate and I had to sit back down.
It's embarrassing.
it's okay because we've got the point.
I think because obviously Ramsdale signed a new long-term contract in the summer. So I mean, and then they went out to get a new goalkeeper, and now he's not number one.
We don't know if he's not number, but this is the thing, right? This is again, the way Arteta's mind works, very strange. Who's to say that then Ramsdale doesn't have a good couple of games and then he continues? Like, I really do feel like this guy really wants to rotate them, and that's to his detriment because, like you said, keepers need to play week in, week out. That's why cup keepers, unless they're very mentally strong, never tends to work for teams, right? Because they're not getting enough playing time. So I don't know. I feel like Arteta is mad enough to be like, "Oh, you'll play a couple of games, and then you play a couple of games."
When he came out and cussed him and said, "I didn't have the courage to take off my goalkeeper."
Why
do you want to make people feel bad?
Exactly. And I look and think, I'm thinking about Ramsdale. Where's he going to go to next? If you look at the big six sides, the only team that needs a goalkeeper is Chelsea. All the other teams are set. So it's also like careers. What's Ramsdale going to do?
Listen, we don't need more problems at SW6. Anyway, to wrap up the North London derby chat, I thought it was really like probably one of the best games I've seen in a long time. In terms of the Premier League,
it must be so good for neutrals.
No, it was excellent.
It's a stressful experience. If you see,
it was excellent. It really was.
Unfortunately, Spurs, I can't believe you allowed Arsenal fans to sing North London forever and didn't beat them, considering that they were formed in South London.
The Woolwich Arsenal. Yeah.
Woolwich Arsenal.
But then, like, up until 1961, you man weren't in London either. Let's all just relax.
I'm gonna give Arsenal fans the last word on this.
Dot dot dot.
And we're moving on. Before we get to a City, we were having a chat before the pod. Apparently, you guys don't like how much we talk about Chelsea, so I'm gonna talk about the Chelsea game. And I'm gonna sum it up. And I'm gonna sum it up by saying three lines. We lost again. It wasn't a red card. Bowley out. And we move.
First.
Okay.
Manchester City. Interesting, not interesting game. Probably a formality in terms of Forest at home.
Yeah.
But Rodri decided he got a bit bored.
There was no oxygen in the chamber, as one woman once said. He thought he was in like the back streets of Spain or something. I don't understand what got to him at that moment in time.
He gripped off his throat. Like, I was confused.
Twice! You could have gotten away with it once, but you did it a second time.
Just to give some context. So, to viewers who haven't managed to look at the incident. So, Man City were 2-0 up going into half time. Excellent finish by both Foden and Haaland. Mm-hmm. And literally, was it 45 seconds after half-time, as I said, Rodri decided he was bored. I think, I can't remember who it was that, Gibson.
Gibbs-White. Because there was the first kind of flare-up where he, like, I think Gibbs-White tried to push Rodri off the ball and then it continued again in the corner.
And then Rodri got a straight red.
Yeah.
I want to know what Gibbs-White said. He must have said something.
Put your hands on the man.
He definitely cussed his mum.
What
killed me? I can't remember if it was Kyle Walker or Foden. I was watching Match of the Day. One of the two were like, "Oh, I know Rodri really, really well as a person. I haven't managed to watch it back, but I know him really well as a person." So I was so shocked to see a red card because I was thinking, "Oh, surely he couldn't have done that. What should we play?" Because
he did that shit. He killed him.
Was trying to strangle the life out of
him. I mean, it wasn't trying to strike.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Literally,
he did this, but like it wasn't like a.
Oh. No, he didn't reckon, like, yeah, but he went on the esophagus.
Yeah,
he went to the
and then he did it again.
Yeah,
Gibbs White fell down, like, you know,
did the whole joke. You know,
I've been shot.
Do you think it's a red card though?
Pardon?
Do you think it's a red card?
You put your hand around some man's neck. Yeah, it's a red card.
Yeah, it's a red card.
Even if you're trying to chat to them straight, like, nah.
It's a red card.
Think about what we saw Casemiro do, and he was still chummy with the person that he did it to, like 2 minutes later. Like, it's red.
I don't know what, like,
unfortunately, I don't know what went. I obviously, you're playing in the moment sort of thing, but he definitely wasn't thinking about, oh, if I do this right now, how many games out am I out for? Because
see your life,
Rodri.
Stupid. Stupid.
And that's
they should know better.
That's two major midfielders you're missing now.
Yeah.
So you don't have Kevin De Bruyne, and then now it looks like you don't have Rodri for the next three games.
Yeah.
How do you think that's going to affect Man City in the title charge?
I think with the kind of player Rodri is, I think he's been obviously very detrimental to our team. I know we can say the same for KDB, but we're seeing Foden really flourish in that midfield since the start of the season, and I'm really glad that he's getting the minutes for it. But also, I think in terms of the kind of creativity we have on the wings and having Doku now as well, I think there isn't going to be much of a struggle. I think definitely in the Arsenal game, there will be. And I don't know if it's because of the kind of intensity that we will be playing on the wing in comparison, but I don't expect Pep to start Doku, surprisingly. As much as the impact that he's had, I think he probably want a ball holding midfield, like, winger, and that means Grealish is coming back.
Really?
I'm
playing Doku against Ben White. Did you not see Ben White against Rashford?
Like, in terms of intensity, and when we say we want someone that's actually being ambitious and going out there, I'd put Doku on straight away. But I also feel like it's just down to Pep tactics, really, because I think if anyone else has obviously seen Grealish when he was in his prime at Aston Villa, he really, really flourishes driving down that middle as well as obviously having the wing. But Pep don't want to play this guy in the middle. He don't want to play this guy in the middle. So we're just having to watch someone run on the wing and ball hold, get a tactical foul, so then we can, you know, do a little summing.
But you're getting your wish, though. You've been wishing Calvin Phillips to come rest Rodri. Now Rodri has to sit down by force.
Hey, Calvin, time to earn that England call-up,
isn't it?
We're waiting.
He needs to earn it. And I don't want to say, I was really surprised that he got subbed on. At the end of the day, you don't really have much of an option. We're two up. You know, we're not going to do anything crazy now. We just got the rest of the 45 to play. Do something.
How was he when he came on?
It was okay. Like,
he did his job.
No.
Like,
he did what he had to do.
He did what he had to do. He wasn't really threatened. I mean, again, like, putting respect on Forrest's name, but it was Forrest. So he wasn't really threatened, but he did his job. Calvin Phillips is very competent in that position. Mm.
I think it's just the fact that he lacks confidence because he didn't get to be a starter last season. Yeah. And obviously,
but he's going to have three. He's going to have three games.
He's going to have three solid games.
He's going to get match fitness,
and then hopefully he shows us a little bit of what he did.
No, but I feel like confidence also comes from being match fit. I'm not even trying to be rude.
And it's
one at a time, guys.
No, I agree. Confidence comes with being match fit, and your manager called you fat a year ago. Like,
I wasn't even talking about the fat shame. I was just saying a running game should help him.
No, but I'm saying, like, you have something to prove now, and you actually got the freedom to do it. You're not coming on in the 85th minute
as a rescue for someone else. Like,
exactly.
I want him to score a 25-yard and lift up his shirt to show that he's not fat.
He can lift up his shirt if he wants to. No problem with that. But he's not going to be, he's not going to be scoring from there. I don't know if you're familiar with his game.
Never know. We're at St. James is next week, so. The Caribou Cup.
But no one will care if you get knocked out of that.
No, that counts.
You compete for the bigger trophies.
Like a 25-yard screamer. Yeah. Anything happens in the cup.
So Rodri's missing Newcastle.
Who do we have after?
It doesn't count for those games.
Just three Premier League games.
Yeah, it's not even a cup game.
I don't think so.
Wolves, Arsenal, Brighton.
So. I think it would count for the FA Cup, but not for the Carabao. Arsenal.
Yeah, that's what Brighton I was thinking, well. But I might Brighton. Be wrong.
Brighton at home or away?
At home. Brighton at home.
They're a good team.
It depends if that's in the Europa, I'm not following the European schedule and calendar this year when the next games are. Yeah, you can chuckle over there. That's fine.
I'm enjoying myself.
Because you never know, because De Zerbi at the moment is rotating
and
lot.
It's really getting on my nerves. And if any other FPL people are getting stressed out by De Zerbi's rotations, come join the support group because it's pissing me off.
It used to be Pep, but I just was like, why are you not? A couple of seasons ago, I was like, why are you not playing Bernardo Silva? Like, he literally scored 10 goals for you this season, and now he's on the bench.
That's why I just have Haaland, because at least I know he's not getting dropped.
Yeah, but Haaland is tax. We all have Haaland, and we all have him captained.
Yeah.
The thing is, I've got Phil Foden now because
De Bruyne is out.
The
makes
only
sense.
Reason why I bought him bought
makes
him
sense.
In. But so actually those are three winnable games.
No, winnable games. Yeah, I think without
isn't every game for City winnable.
Wait, according to Arsenal,
God willing.
According to Arsenal fans, no.
We really should have left one of the cameras.
Yes, you guys can see there's an empty chair. But I think obviously it's a routine win for City. But yeah. Forest had their chances.
Defo did, but Mr. Edison as well has become very very clinical. And I have no one else to thank but Ortega for that, because. That, when we're talking about rivalry in terms of goalkeeping, that's how you do it. In terms of trying to shape someone up, tell them to fix up because your position is kind of on the line. Yeah, because Ortega was great for the games that he has had.
You're getting more clean sheets. I didn't put Edison on my fantasy football team.
Because it's annoying because you don't know which defender's going to play.
Mr. Edison, once upon a time, used to shit yourself when you looked at him getting odd shots like that. You didn't see Edison as a shot stopper. But he's doing so much better.
I mean, I think City are just going about their business. They're just collecting wins.
And the thing is, you're not expecting it at this, obviously, at this stage of the Prem for us to. These are the kind of runs that we start seeing after December sort of thing. So it's nice to kind of enjoy it right now.
Yeah, enjoy it.
It's okay. Like I said, on the way here, if it's between City and Arsenal, blue moon, carry on winning. Sorry.
Might do the what's that bouncy
Poplar. Oh, the pause that.
Fuck off, all of you. God, it's like you ain't got a choice. But I'm not reveling in it. I'm so sorry. I'm not enjoying it.
No, I don't mind City. But the thing is, I personally, one thing I do want to talk about is whether City get their flowers. I personally think they don't. I think people just expect it, so it's not like a big deal. I was really thinking about this this week. Particularly after the game yesterday that you just won 2-0, City did the treble, and I really feel like the fanfare around it wasn't that much, as much as it should have been. Because I remember, I'm maybe old enough to remember, potentially, the United treble, and they went on about that for about 5 years.
Oh, they're
going to
call you an auntie in the group chat again.
Don't worry, I'm here with you. Yeah. I remember, and I know exactly where I was when I watched that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer goal go in. So I will stand with you and say I remember it, and I agree. But here's the problem, right? Because again, a lot of people that we discuss football with are probably either try to forget or generally don't remember what a chokehold Manchester United had on the league here, and obviously them in Europe and such.
Not so much in Europe, but
like obviously, so they believe that, you know, Man United did it organically, whereas City, they've been bought and they're doing it like this. You have to forget, these sugar daddies existed, obviously on a much, much lesser scale, but the same back then. Manchester United, the likes of...
They could buy any player they wanted.
The likes of Blackburn, obviously that fell apart very quickly, but like there were teams who were owned by people who had a lot of money and they could buy whatever they want, and therefore the caliber of their teams, you know, were out of this world. Now, yes, I do agree that there were other sides around that time who were playing fantastic football and were exciting too, and were giving them a good run for their money. So like the Arsenals of that time as well. But it was really Man United's game to lose a lot of the time. So I think people tend to forget that, or they look at that with like rose-tinted glasses and think that they did it like the right way, where a City have been bought. And it's like, okay, sit down for a minute. If your team was bought by, you know, someone who had a lot of money, and let's not forget, it didn't happen for City straight away. There were some awkward years in there, you know, Steven Island years, you know. But like it came.
Richard Dunn.
And so I think a lot of people are quite jaded because, like you said, City have gone in this fantastic run for the last few years, and
people want to be on the path of righteousness, basically.
Mm. It's one of them things where it's just sort of like, it's become, like you said, it's become expected. But if you actually look into how the team performs and what they look like, and, you know, the building of the team, and even if you look at Pep, and yes, he buys who he wants, but some of the people that he's bought, he completely changes their game. You look at Aki, you look at Grealish. You're right, a lot of people don't respect it, but it's also because they've got very short memories, or their memories don't go that far back. Because the argument is that Man United were doing the same thing. Yeah, they had like a massive core of academy players in like the 90s and that. But
I think what people forget about City is people just see them like the men's team, and it's had loads of money thrown at it. But what City have done in terms of the facilities that they've bought, the training facilities, the women's team, they're building that team as well. The academy is really good. Mm-hmm. They're producing their own players. They're not just buying here, there and everyone. Like your Cole Palmers, your Phil Fodens. Like they are performing in the different departments of the club very, very well. So I agree. I think people have short memories. Like, is it competitive to feel like we're developing into a Bundesliga? Maybe not, but equally, like, you know, Man United have spent just as much money, if not more, as a City have over recent years, and that hasn't been successful for them. So it's not just Chelsea have spent a lot of money, and look how let me land, and look how that's going for them. So it's not just a case of, oh, you throw money at your team and suddenly you're going to come away with all of these trophies. Like, City are very, very well coached, and they've probably got one of the best managers of all time. The same way United had that with Sir Alex Ferguson. It's not just City's money. We're just in a period where Pep Guardiola is a fantastic manager. So
it happens every decade. There was the Liverpool decade. There was the United decade. Mm.
Do you remember the Liverpool decade?
I wasn't there.
I'm
happy to say that I'm 31 years old. It's okay.
But there's a reason why, like, Graham seen us and their man on our telly.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, I do understand where people are just a bit like frustrated, because it's like it's all they can remember. But there have been periods of time before where it would have been one club getting the majority of the titles in that season. And again, I think because we hadn't seen a treble when Man United did it. It was fucking exciting. And it's not just here, but I think also abroad, it wasn't really a thing.
Yeah.
Between then and now,
so many teams have done it.
You see more teams have done it and all of that sort of thing. And again, people are haters. I'm a hater too. So
115 charges as well will do it. That will do it.
Take us to court, bro. We'll be there.
We'll be there.
But I think obviously City have started really, really well. And the other thing I just wanted to touch on was someone that you mentioned earlier, was Doku and Nunes. Yes. And how have they been in terms of...
It's been nice to obviously see fresh feet on the pitch, and they seem to be playing so well and like merging and integrating into our team really well. Like, I don't see any proper missing gaps then. Doku obviously brings a lot more excitement on the wing. I'm not even trying to shit on Grealish, man, because I will fight. I'd fight for that man. I'd ride for that man. But unfortunately, I feel like his days are slightly numbered on the wing as well.
Wow.
Talking about
Like when you've got Grealish lovers, Grealish to hold the bench.
Because Grealish gives us something in terms of like a ball holding and everything else. And so you see it when you play in the Champions League. You see it all the time.
So when we were saying that £100 million price tag's not been justified,
ain't worth it, Lauren. Ain't worth it.
And we were waiting for but your Grealish tinted eyes couldn't see anything.
I don't disagree. Unfortunately, the Grealish tax has harmed everyone, not just City. It has harmed the whole market. We've seen it in the summer. It is ruined everything, to be quite honest, and how we actually measure how valuable a player is. Yes. But I think with Grealish being out and now having someone in a replacement on that wing, it's so nice to see something completely different where it isn't having to just stay there. You're actually
terrified
on your mind,
the shit out of me last week.
Playing
he
the shit
so
with
good.
The ball here, there, weaving in. It's so nice. You know, so nice. Good football.
What's scary is that usually, like, you know, like when Pep signs some players and then you have to wait for their second season for them to become good. Like, even Guardiola, all of the summer signings are really good already. Like, they actually slotted in.
Mr. Kovacic
who
out.
Did you just say?
Kovacic.
Even Kovacic was playing well until he got injured. Yeah.
So who's been the best summer signing so far?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Good question. I actually want to say Kovacic. I really do. Considering how much I...
Wait. No one speak. No one speak. Sit down.
Sit down. Nobody move.
I am actually not going to allow you. After, listen, the tears. The constant moaning. No. Nobody talk. Nobody talk. After the tears, the constant moaning. I told you he was going to be good. I don't want him. And he comes in. No. I told you.
That's why I pushed my mic. Because she was chatting the most out of money.
Look,
that's why I pushed
guys
my mic.
If let me land, I would have said, yes, I know. I was like, what are we talking about?
And everyone was telling you he's the perfect Pep player.
Yeah, but I didn't. Look, I'm not going to lie. I wasn't preying Chelsea's ball like that. And the thing is, there's different tactics.
Every
compared
Chelsea
to
fan
here
told
and you.
Every Chelsea fan in that group chat told you, except for... Faye, because we all know what Faye
agenda.
Agenda.
Faye doesn't like anybody. Everyone told you that he was going to come and cook and you were crying.
I just didn't know how he was going to fit in our system. Realistically, I just didn't. But to be fair, what do I know? That's why I'm not doing Pep's job, so fuck it. But
Amen.
But to be honest, I think it's going under the radar because of the transfer fees that have been banded around with other clubs and players who are not performing. But I think City are going kind of under the radar because their signings have just come in, slotted in. And, you know, everyone's talking about the likes of Gundogan and whatever that have left. But actually, like, these players have come in and started the season better than they ever have done.
It's just seamless. That's what's irritating. It's the fact that people have gone, people have come, and it's not like this, oh, we need to get players to gel. You've lost a real big gem. And it's not like, oh, my God, what are we going to do without our key player? It's just... continuing.
Sit down and get on with it.
It's just continuing. And that's why it's like, I do understand what you mean by they're not getting their flowers, but it's just sort of like, don't even know, there's no turmoil. It's just not happening. You're just moving on.
Because Pep gets rid of him. So Cancelo, go
on. But it's also the philosophy of the club, isn't it? Like, there's a really homely vibe to, and I think we had like a little interview with Gravaggio and Kovacic, I think like two weeks ago or something like that. But it's the ethos that they have about trying to include every single player. Like, no one feels like, oh yeah, this is their first day here sort of thing. It's like, oh yeah, well, I've been here. I feel like I've been here for ages sort of thing. So
that's nice.
Oh, it's very kumbaya, my lord.
You know, but some people have to take retreats, so it's like, whatever. But, you know, don't know about them clubs.
But yeah, good on City.
Okay. Well, that shot was just uncalled for.
Nobody asked.
Yes. Damn.
We are moving on swiftly to Liverpool versus West Ham. Philippa.
Yeah, I mean, if you asked me before the game started, what do you think the score's going to be? I would have told you 3-1. So I'm not surprised. It seemed like we started the game like really well, and then Agüero had a bozo moment, and I feel bad for the guy because I do like him, but he needs to be dropped. He needs to be dropped for Dinos like ASAP. I feel like in the last few games he's made a costly mistake that has led to a goal. I really do like, there's something about him I do like him, but I just think that he has lapses of judgment and concentration that are costing us.
Salah was the football. Like, yeah.
It's like, is it because it's misjudged, mistimed? Like, what are you doing? But I think he was also, because he was positioned stupidly, it was like, I either do this or he's going to score regardless. I don't know. Like, I feel like he just panicked a little bit. But I was really pleased to see that, like, we didn't just like, oh shit, we've got one down and we're just letting the game run by us. Bowen got that goal, his fourth of the season.
Fantastic.
I'm just so pleased for him that he's like in good form at the beginning of the season, because last season it took him so long to get out of the blocks. And I think I said this before, I feel like the pressure of trying to make it into that World Cup squad like really got to him and he just was overplaying. Now he's just enjoying his football and
I still can't get picked.
Regardless, I mean,
he should be in the squad.
He should be in the squad.
He should be in the waistcoat, man, because nothing can change that guy's man now.
It is what it is. But like,
the thing is, this waistcoat man is fighting for his life for players that don't even play for his club, and there are literally players in form, and he's like,
I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people say, oh, it doesn't exist, but there is a big club bias with these national teams. It just is. Because there have been times in history where I feel like a West Ham player has played really well and they just don't get sniffed of it.
Well, Declan hasn't broken the glass ceiling.
I mean, it is what it is. Anyway, the less said about
it's
that.
It's true, because it's like, even like James Ward-Prowse, for example,
exactly
was struggling to make the squad at Southampton, still not making the squad, even though he's kind of gone to West Ham. So it's almost like it's still not a big enough jump in terms of making the
squad. And this
squad
is the first game that he's played this season where he's not had like a
goal involvement.
Exactly, goal involvement. But anyway, I digress. And then Liverpool did what Liverpool do and they played really well in the second half. Apparently there were times where we could get into it a little bit more. I've only been able to watch highlights. But I'm not disheartened. I'm not disheartened about how we played. I looked at the first 10 games of this season and I was terrified just because of how we played last season. And for us to have 10 points at this stage, bearing in mind how we played, I'm really pleased. I think it's just a case of, I would love next week for us to just keep a clean sheet against Sheffield United. I think that would do a world of good for the players.
Considering how they played today.
But, you know, yeah, but have you watched West Ham play also? Like, nothing is promised.
Plus, the ball looking Sheffield United probably would have had tonight. They have to wake up, man.
Sheffield United, they need to return the wages for this week, so maybe they'll give you a tucker.
But that's what I'm saying. I think they'll give us a game.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not disheartened. We, in Europe, again, I know it's not the big leagues, but in Europe, we won again. We are
stand
undefeated.
Up our name, boy.
Yes, Kudus. So that is my main. That's my main bugbear about today. I would have liked Kudus to start. I understand why he didn't, but I think he also, if he wasn't going to start, he should have come on much earlier than he did. Again, Agüero, I would have preferred Dinos to have started ahead of him, but David Moyes, I just don't really understand his thinking in games and like his subs and what he's trying to do with the game. Like, it seemed like the subs that he made were trying to mitigate the loss. Bringing on Kudus is great. Bringing on Fornals doesn't really make a lot of sense. You should have brought on Benrahma and tried to push to get that second goal. But again, I can't be mad. The signings that we made this summer made a lot of sense. Would have loved an actual forward, but I feel like he's probably going to try and make Bowen a striker, which I don't know if I'm settled with that, but as well. Next couple of games, I'd like some big statement wins and then I can feel more comfortable. But yeah, it's sort of going well on our end of the road. You know what I mean? We're, what, like eighth at the minute? Which isn't bad. We've actually played some like top sides. So
I don't think it's the top sides that is your issue.
You reckon it's the bottom sides that is my issue?
I think
issue?
It's, yeah, teams in a
well,
in
to, table, to be, but so far, we've dealt with them. So hopefully, yeah, we can continue.
You're above United,
I mean,
above Chelsea.
They finished
right.
Some weekends on top. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I love that period, though, because my For You page on TikTok was literally just there, like, oh, look at us. We're on top of the league.
It's not going to happen at the end of the season, is it?
I never know, man. You never know. I think Liverpool are another team that's slightly going under the radar. I thought that Nunez finish was fantastic.
I want to talk about this
after
guy.
The other misses.
Nunes,
but yeah.
when he gets his chance, he'll take it.
Yeah. No. Because Nunes will take his chances and flop them. He'll have five chances. Uh-huh.
He's a 1 in 5 striker.
He's a 1 in 5 striker. Mm-hmm. And that must be so frustrating for Liverpool fans. But yeah, I think that...
I would take it at Chelsea.
No. You're right, though. They are going under the radar. And I think it's because their performances aren't sexy, but they're getting results.
They're getting the job done. Yeah. Which is scary because I think... To actually like to do a whole midfield revamp, literally to get rid of the hop, like, and then to bring in new players, young players, ones who are settling into the country, they're kind of getting the result. Once they actually understand how Klopp likes to play, they'll get to another level. So I think they've started, like, oh my, like Ella's probably going to be listening to this bit, like smiling, but they've started really well. And I think there's a lot more to come with that level.
I'm glad we've played them at Anfield now.
I think they're going to be City's closest challenger.
Oh, Anfield.
Yeah, I think
that's interesting. People are like,
I think maybe
after Liverpool played last season, how could you think?
Don't think Arsenal are going to keep up?
I think Liverpool are going to be City's closest.
Okay,
if you see when I was running away from answering any questions about Arsenal, you see,
I think Arsenal do well. I don't think they're going to fall away that much, but I think. I think people underestimating Liverpool this season.
Yeah, like I said, it's one of them things, but they've done that a couple of seasons where they're not playing particularly well. Yeah. They get the results and then they fix themselves.
I think because like how we've characterised that Liverpool side, like obviously when they won the league, but and how they were in those peak years is that they didn't really concede many goals. Mm. So they were really hard to beat. Mm. I think what we're seeing is a Liverpool team who they're happily conceding goals, but they're confident of outscoring the opposition.
Yeah.
So I think because they're not like, you know, we're not sat here like, oh, what a performance from Van Dijk and all of these players. We're perceiving them differently. But because they've got so much quality in attack, and once that midfield starts clicking, yeah, I just think they're just going to be one of that. They'll just outscore people.
I think the only hope for us is whether they sell Salah in January. I don't think that's going to happen, personally.
Hope for us.
Is he out of contract? <summer? laughs>
These Saudi, people are not my out.
Well, I know Saudi are going to, they're going to skin out whatever. Because they're ready. They're
yeah,
ready.
But how long is he, has but, he, is, when does the contract expire?
2 years after this?
Hey, so they don't need to sell him.
But it's whether he wants
to. Plus, there's not like, there's, I'm not missing anyone though.
I think he ends the season at the very least. Mm-hmm. I don't think he goes in Jan.
I think that'd be crazy.
I know you are hoping for it. But listen, misery loves company, but don't wish it back.
Yeah. I think before we close, I really want to touch on Manchester United. Mm. So one really like interesting stat I saw in preparation for this episode is they have lost 4 of their opening 6 fixtures in all competitions.
Oh. And it's not a surprise.
I
watched United versus Burnley yesterday. If Burnley had any ounce of like clinicalness about them, United would have lost that game. United were terrible. They were terrible. They were not great. I like how they scored 3 goals against Bayern Munich. It was just Bayern Munich switching off. They got outplayed. And most of the games that United have played this season, they've been outplayed by the opposition. And it's not just been top quality, it's been mid-table, it's been relegation candidates. They're just not playing very well.
Do you see that changing anytime soon? They got Amrabat came on.
I think their problem is their ability to score goals. And if Rashford's not on it, there's
not many other people that
will. Yeah. Like I think Hoyland is there.
I think he's class.
And he's a good striker. But then if Rashford's not on it and they're not linking up properly, then who's really supplying Hoyland if then Bruno is also not having the best game? I just don't think Hoyland will get supplied with enough chances in order to maximise, I think, his potential this season. I think they're very light in attack, personally. The defence will come back, the midfield will, but yeah.
The midfield?
Look what they've done to a Champions League winner.
We haven't got much to say because it's painful.
Man United fan?
I think they were awful yesterday.
I think to get worked by that Burnley team.
Exactly.
I don't want to say they got worked. Less.
No, but they did.
They
were outplayed.
They got worked.
They were outplayed. I don't want to say they got worked. They were not playing well, but less. Come on.
They were outplayed.
They were not tantalising at all, I agree.
But Burnley played better football than they did. They just couldn't score. Genuinely. Burnley with a better team.
Oh no, I agree they were a better team, but I don't think it was like a wash.
They still got Mason Mount to come back.
Yay!
Stop it now.
They do.
I mean, and they probably have Casemiro to come back as well, because that man is like a ghost of his former self right now.
Wait, Philippa. Philippa, tell her off, man.
What did she say?
I feel sorry for Casemiro.
I do. You ain't wrong. Look what they done to him. Champions League winner. He's playing
I feel sorry for him because he looks dusted.
Like, apart from his goals on the midweek.
And he shouldn't do.
But here's the question. What has happened between now and this time last season? Because Casemiro had the team on his back.
There wasn't a crazy amount that happened.
He's in his 30s, guys. He doesn't want to be carrying that.
He would carry the midfield and sure the defensive, but then Rashford would go and score. Yeah. Mm. So it would get the job done. But Rashford is not scoring. And until Hoyland kind of gets up to speed, you can't rely on Martial. You know, obviously the right side of the pitch, people are not part of the squad currently. But I look at that United team, like, is there anybody bar Rashford in that front line, Rashford and Hoyland, who you're confident of getting more than 10 Premier League goals this season?
If he was Egghead, would you get on your knees and beg? Okay, pause. Would you ask for Sanchez to come?
Wait, for who?
Sancho.
I don't like. I don't. Think, I don't like his man management.
I don't know what their game plan
like
is.
Management.
I don't think. I don't think. Let me finish my point. But what we as Spurs interviewed, Ten Hag. And by all intents and purposes, Levy didn't like him because they didn't think he was charismatic and he didn't think he would be able to manage the man management of the squad. Mm. Wouldn't go very well. And I actually think that is now playing out at United. Yeah. I don't know if Ten Hag is that liked by the people that are in the squad, because they don't play like they're running through brick walls for him.
Mm. And that's the thing. It's like, even my own team were playing terribly. You could tell that they were still playing for the manager. Yeah. They just didn't have the quality at the time. But it's like, you said what you said, Sancho said what he said, and now it's a thing of apparently Sancho must give him a face-to-face apology before he comes back in the squad. Like,
sometimes just put your hand up, say, I was wrong, I need you now, just...
And he doesn't want to give it. And that's an issue, because usually if a player's in the wrong...
They'll just apologise and...
They'll just apologise and get on with it, because they want to play ball. He's not apologising. Something's gone wrong.
And that right side is looking empty. But Johnny Evans,
man of the match.
Hey, listen, we were laughing in the group chat, like, not Johnny Evans starting, but
he was the difference.
Did you see that assist?
Yeah,
give that man another year just for that.
No, but he was.
You're miserable.
Bad vibes again.
Give him another year. Come on,
he deserves the man of the match. I can't believe they gave it to Bruno. Like Johnny, Evans,
it should have been Johnny Evans, but yeah, I don't know. It was not a good game for Man United, but I felt bad for Burnley. But again, there are a couple of sides. Well, all the sides that came up, I feel, are all strong contenders to go back down.
Very quickly about that relegation battle, because for me, it's between four teams.
Name them.
Who's your fourth team?
So I think, obviously, Burnley in trouble. Sheffield United basically already down. Luton already in League One.
who's your fourth?
And then you have Everton, but also, Everton and Wolves.
Wolves, yes, also. Agree.
Wolves just can't score
We were saying Wolves have actually started really shockingly this season. And it's not like they don't really have an all-round great season. Mm. They're just there. They're consistent in, you know, having good performances, and right now they just don't have really.
I think
the main man up top to.
They can save their season by buying a striker in January.
Because of FFP.
They're gonna have to sell some people because they need to
actually be because
FFP has done them dirty. They need to do like Man City and find some charges.
Excuse me, I'm so confused. How can a team like Wolves be done by FFP? But because you man are running riot.
Remember when they turned into Portugal though? And they were bringing.
Someone said EU. Union's got another country.
Real talk. It's true. They were flinging out those work visas like nothing. Yeah.
But I, like I said, I think Wolves are missing a goal scorer. If they can find someone to fill that role, they'll be fine because their general play isn't that bad. I think Everton, I think Sean Dyche will keep them up. Because
they looked, I can't believe I'm saying this, Marva, record this. They looked good. Yeah, Brentford
were terrible though. That's Brentford the worst probably terrible. I've ever seen Brentford play.
I've never seen Brentford so bad. And yeah, I was actually really confused.
Brentford have been proper, like, and like I don't they have understand. Been dismembered when we talk about their squad. They've like proper been.
I think they've got Mbeumo
and like they've got other players who usually do well. Just
to be fair, Sade, who my godfather's a Brentford fan, so I watch a lot of Brentford games. So Sade is the Tony replacement. He got injured in the warm up, and I just don't think they were expecting that, and they lost their attacking momentum. Just wasn't there, and I think it just disrupted the preparation for the game.
Fair,
but for me, Everton, that goal that they conceded is exactly what Everton are like. Just defensively, the goalkeeping, it was just like calamity. Okay, yeah, I can understand why you're struggling, but I think between those five, maybe even friend Chelsea, I think between those five, that's six, I think for me personally, as I said, I think the two promote, maybe the three. But I don't know, maybe Burnley can save themselves because they don't play badly.
Yeah, but if Vincent Kompany is committed to playing Pep ball with the non-Pep players in the Premier League and he doesn't switch up the styles slightly, they're in trouble because they're going to keep conceding goals because of the way that they play. Yeah. And if they don't score, they're only going to keep losing games.
It's giving me shades of, do you remember when Leeds came up and obviously they were playing that danger ball?
Oh, with Bielsa.
Yeah, with Bielsa. And it's like Lauren just said, they need to shore up their back a little bit because they're getting caught too far out consistently. And you ain't got the back line and you also don't have the players, because with Bielsa ball, Leeds would score four. They would concede four, but they would score four because they had the talent. And I just don't think it's clicking. And it's a shame because they were really entertaining in the Championship. And it wasn't just against those Championship stalwarts and the League One sides. It was also against ex-Premier League sides that they looked good against as well. But he's got to, you can't just have one thing. If it's not working, you have to change it.
So quickly, just before we wrap up, who do you think is going to go down?
The three that went up.
I'm saying exactly the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, same. The promoted teams.
Everton survive another.
Everton are so lucky because we're getting hate from outside the club segment. You're staying up again.
I was saying last season, Everton, your days are numbered. But luckily enough for you, you've got three clubs that are worse than that at the moment. So
I think it's going to be by the skin of their teeth. But then again, like, they might go on a run. But again, Sean Dyche's Burnley never excited me. So I don't feel like Sean Dyche's Everton is going to do the same thing. It's going to do anything better. So,
yeah.
Amazing.
But yeah, I think they'll do it. Based on, Brentford were diabolical, but Everton showed that the players that they have brought in can play. Mm-hmm. So I think based on that, they'll get enough points, I think, to lift themselves out of trouble.
Amazing. Well, that's it from us. This is the test. So make sure you follow all the hosts and co-hosts. Follow Goldies.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
At GoldDiggersUK on X/Twitter, GoldDiggersUK _ on Instagram. Don't know the TikTok.
But at GoldDiggersUK.
I told you before.
Thank you very much, Lauren. Make sure you're tuning in. Todd Burley out, and we'll see you next week.
Oh my God.
Bye.
Bye. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.